This is a correspondence course that we provide by mail to, Gail, would you mind making a copy of yours for the gentleman that just came in? Thank you. As I only have one more copy. So this is the correspondence course that we provide to people by mail, to people that request it through our website. Also, the same correspondence course is available in an online version. So you can take the course by, you know, sending in snail mail, or you can just take it online right on the correspondence course, right on the website. Sorry, I'm a little tongue-tied. For whatever reason, this has been more popular. The snail mail version has been more popular. We've only had one person very, very recently go through the entire course online. Most people request the mail-in version. I don't know, I guess they like to get mail. Which is fine. And we get these, I didn't mention this on Thursday, we get these from the Florida College Bookstore. They charge us like 10 cents a copy or something like that. And I think what they're doing is just charging us for their copying expenses. I don't think that Sewell Hall, who's the author of these, gets anything out of these. I don't think there's any real copyright to them or anything like that. But if there is a copyright, then we know that Florida College has permission to make copies, so we pay them to make the copies for us. Make a little more room here. And so what I thought we would do is go through these just to familiarize the congregation with what we provide to the community and to, you know, whoever requests it, as a way to introduce Jesus and to teach them more about Jesus and hopefully teach them their need for Jesus in their life, their need for the salvation that Jesus provides. So that's the purpose of this, for us to get to know this material. All right, so we're going to pick up with lesson three this morning, Jesus, the Way to a Better Life. And before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for keeping us safe through the storm. And we pray that you will continue to watch over us and bless us with life and health and all that we need from day to day. We thank you for this time that we've set aside for study of your word. And we pray that you will help us to learn what is most needful for our lives and for our evangelistic efforts. Help us to always see those around us as souls that need to be saved. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and as I said, Thursday, we're just kind of going through the lessons. This is not material that, you know, we're probably familiar with this material and the things that are being taught here. So this is not really meant to be instructive for us. So we're just going through the material and just kind of summarizing it. If you have questions about anything that's in here, if there's something you don't understand, if there's something you want, you know, you feel needs to be discussed more, we can certainly do that. But my purpose is just to kind of go through the material and make sure we're familiar with it. So, on Thursday, we were kind of going around the room reading the sections, which was great because this helped me save my voice a little bit. So if you don't mind, I'd like to do that again. And if you don't feel like reading, then just pass to the next person. We'll start. Craig, do you mind reading? Lesson three, Jesus, the Way to a Better Life. If you'll just read the first paragraph.
Of our generation is the good life, the strength is has been the desire of everything, of teachers, and not of kings and common men, but to truly do that as every other good thing, Jesus is the way.
All right. So, we're now on lesson three. We've introduced the first lesson, introduced all of the topics of the next six lessons. The second lesson was finding Jesus the way, which emphasizes the fact that if you want to know Jesus, you've got to go to the scripture, to the source of that information. So now that we've introduced this idea that the Bible-based teaching about Jesus, now what's in it for me? What's the benefit to you, the reader? You're looking for the good life? Well, here it is. We've got that answer right here for you. And it's through Jesus. Alright, so we've introduced Jesus, the way to a better life. Shall we continue back on this side with whoever wants to go next? Just read the next section, if you will.
Jesus corrects misconceptions. Good life is probably summed up best by the word happiness. Yet when we think of the good life, we usually think of material prosperity, of pleasure and popularity. This is because we suppose that these things are the things which bring happiness. Jesus rejects this supposition. Hear him. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life not consistent in abundance of the things he possesses. Luke 12:15. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Luke 25:26.
And then one more paragraph on the, if you turn it over. All right. So in this section, we manage expectations. What does it mean to have a better life? Well, it doesn't mean that you have a lot of stuff, you know. And everybody really knows this deep down. And it points out that we see those that are rich that are unhappy. Rich, famous people that are unhappy, even, you know, that commit suicide. They're so depressed, but they have everything. They have it all. Well, obviously they don't have a better life. So Jesus is offering a truly better life. And so we're trying to draw them in to see this concept. Peggy C., you want to read the next section? Oh, yeah, keep going. Yeah.
Is it not true that most of the unhappiness you have known is traceable to just such sins as these? It is only in turning from sin that we can hope to find happiness. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. 1 Peter 3:10-11. Only by studying the law of Christ can we recognize sin. Sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. Only by following the perfect example of Jesus can we avoid sin. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:21-22. Imagine a life without guilt, without fear, without the anxiety that always attends the life of sin. Here indeed is peace that passes understanding.
All right. So, I like the point that's being made here that at the beginning that man had the good life. In the very beginning, man had a perfect life. And so that's attainable. That exists. There is a perfect life to be had. But the problem is, and Jesus roots out the problem is sin. Sin ruins the good life, but Jesus shows us how to get back to that. By following His perfect example, we can have the good life once again. Okay, so we've kind of set the table. This is what Jesus does for us. He shows us the way. All right, next section. Who wants to, let's see. You want to read, Kathy? Sorry, your name was not coming to my head. Okay, so what is it that Jesus offers? He offers a completely different way, basically turning the world's idea of happiness on its head. Instead of looking for riches and stuff on this earth, we look for treasure somewhere else in heaven. Instead of looking to get as much as we can, we look to give. Instead of looking to be served and to have people do for us, we seek to serve others. That's the happiness that Jesus provides. And this is where we start to separate the soil, right? Those that are more interested in wealth, who are going to let the seed be choked by the riches and cares of the world, are going to start to separate here. They're going to start to say, well, no. I find happiness in my Xbox or my PlayStation or my, my Maserati or, whatever it is that is my idol in life. This is where they're going to start to separate. But the good soil, though, they're going to start to say, well, this makes a lot of sense. And, I've really had this feeling that, yeah, I'm doing it the wrong way. And this seems like a better way. All right. So continuing, continuing on the back, Joe, do you mind reading the next section?
Jesus and it will be the brain refresh there. Shake it together and run it over will be put into your bosom. Luke 6:38. For whoever exalts himself will be debased, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted.
All right. So, it's not that we just give everything up and live a life of austerity and want. No, Jesus promises that we'll be taken care of. You know, our needs will be met. So there is much more than just giving up to be happy. We also have promises that go along with that, that we will be taken care of. We just have to stop seeking that, and instead seek the better way that Jesus provides. All right, next, Devonna, would you mind reading the next section? All right. And so in this final paragraph, you know, maybe the person is thinking, well, I just don't understand how this can be true. It sounds great, but it doesn't make any sense. Well, we kind of make sense of it here. I mean, if you live a life where you're serving others, if you live a life where you are not seeking to get dishonest gain, I mean, if you think about it, you're going to have a much better life. You're going to be at peace with people. You're going to not be so worried about being caught in some illegal act or, you know, or that sort of thing. Things just work better that way. And so this is at least one way that Jesus does provide a better life, by providing wisdom for our life. So trying to appeal to the sense of logic and on the part of the reader. All right, so everything makes sense? All right, let's look at the questions. If you flip it back over, the first question is back on the other side. The things, and I would point out that all of these passages, until the last lesson, I think all of the passages in the quiz are actually quoted in the lesson. So this is very convenient for the reader. The things that defile a man and make him unclean come out of his heart. If one would love life and see good days, he must turn away from... I heard it. Sin, okay, yeah. Does it say sin or evil? Okay, I thought I remembered evil, but sin, evil, you know, same thing. The lawless man in transgressing God's law commits sin. Blank committed no sin. Jesus Christ, okay. Treasures on blank may be destroyed. Earth. By moth and rust or stolen by thieves. Jesus sought us to lay up treasure in. Okay. Jesus said that blank is better than receiving. Giving. Jesus said, one who desires to be great must be a servant. The blank worry about what they will eat, drink, and wear. Did I hear it? Sinner. The world. What does his version say? Does it say Gentiles in here? That one is in here, right? I'm missing it. Oh, yeah. It's toward the end of the lesson. Yeah, so that one's interesting because I can imagine the reader, today's reader, being confused by that. Why do we care what the Gentiles do? Oh, wait, I am a Gentile. But anyway, Anyway, so, I don't know, I just thought that was funny. So the Gentiles worry about what they will eat, drink, and wear. We are taught to seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. And all these things will be supplied. If we blank, others will give to us. Did I hear it? Give? I think I heard give. One who humbles himself will be exalted. All right. The word blessed on the other side. The word blessed means happy, well favored. It is another word to describe the truly good life. Using your own Bible, find the following verses which tell who are blessed and supply the proper words below. All right. I haven't filled these out, so hopefully I remember what these are. Blessed are the, there's a lot of blessed people in Matthew 5. I can't remember which one is verse 3. Blessed are, is it poor? Is that one poor? Yeah, okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit. 5:4, blessed are those who mourn. Mm-hmm. 5:5, blessed are the gentle, meek, right? 5:7, blessed are the merciful. And I'm not sure why he's skipping some of these, but maybe just for space. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. So I can imagine this might make the reader stop and think a minute and say, and really think about what it means to be blessed. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness. But Romans 4:7, what does that say? Blessed are who? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. So that is the key. That sin that separates us from God, from that good life, that is the key. We are blessed once again if our lawless deeds are forgiven. All right, and then Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. I'm pretty sure I heard that. All right, so you don't have to mail in the questions. You've passed and you can move on to lesson 4. All right, any questions on that? All right, we're obviously not going to get through all of these. But I will say, before we move on to the next lesson, I think we talked about this a little bit on Thursday. Obviously, these are mail-in correspondence courses. I don't see any reason why you couldn't just hand them to people. You know, if you knew of someone that you thought would benefit from this course, you know, we can certainly provide that to you to hand out as well. I don't know if I would give them all 7 lessons at the same time. Maybe just give them lesson 1 and see if they come back to you and say, hey, you know, I kind of like that. Was there more to that? You know, that kind of thing. And what we do online, just so you know, is you request the first lesson. Actually, you take the first lesson online. That's right there on the webpage. And so when you submit the quiz answers for lesson 1, that comes to the church's email address, and then me checks the answers and then sends them the link to the next lesson, which has a quiz attached to it. They send that in, then they get the link to the third lesson, and so on and so forth. Let's see. Online, to the online course, just 1. Is somebody, I don't know if they're a man or a woman, because I don't understand Indian names, but anyway, somebody from India was responding. And I think they're actually a member of the church. I think they might be evaluating it for their own use, but, because they went through it very quickly, and their email address was something@somethingchurchofchrist.in. So anyway, they asked us if we were in an institutional church and, you know, that sort of thing. But that's the only one online. Now, the mail-in, we've had about, I don't know, 8 to 10 people. I haven't counted recently. 8 to 10 people who have requested lesson one. I've had one person get as far as lesson five. I'm waiting for them to return lesson six. A couple of others that have gotten not quite that far. So, you know, it's not a lot going on there, but it is nice to know that people are interested. All right, any other questions? All right, well, let's move on to lesson four, see if we can get through lesson four before our time has expired. Jesus, the way to forgiveness. All right, so we introduced this topic in lesson three, so we'll look at it a little more in depth in this lesson. Let's see, where do we leave off? Devon, you want to... Oh, okay, Don.
Many people think that sin is nothing more than a violation of human relationships. They consider an action sinful only if it is frowned upon by society. If it violates their own conscience, or if it is harmful to someone, to such people, correcting sin is nothing more than making things right with the other people. When this is done, they feel a peaceful release. But sin is more than this. Sin is a deviation from God's will. All unrighteousness is sin, 1 John 5:17. It may be doing what God disapproves. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, 1 John 3:4. Or it may be failing to do right. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin, James 4:17. The grossest behavior toward another human being is sin, only because it violates God's law. After committing adultery and murder, David wrote in a song to God, "Against you, only you, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Psalm 51:4. This means that sin is more serious than most people realize, and it explains the penalty attached to it. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. It means also that no man is forgiven until all is right with God.
All right. So, so I think the idea is to dispel the notion that as long as I'm not hurting anybody else, I'm okay. Which I think is a pretty popular notion. The notion that goes along with that is if I hurt somebody, I need to make amends for that, and then I'm okay, and all is right with the world. Yes.
Sentence, what is frowned upon by society? Very little does society frowns upon.
Except religion. Seems like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Anything goes, it seems like, as long as you're not hurting someone else. Yes? Right, right, exactly. Yeah, so basically inviting the reader to think deeper about sin and what sin is and how that affects your relationship to God. That's the point of this whole lesson. And so you try to get their attention right up front. It's like, what you were thinking about sin is probably not correct. You need to think a little deeper with us. I'm sorry? Exactly. There aren't any big and small sins. It's all sin against God. Any unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5:17. All right, very good. Anything else? All right, shall we move on to the problem of sin? Would you like to read? Yeah.
The problem of sin. Making a sinner right with God is not easy, even for God. God is
blood righteousness and hate wickedness. Psalms 45:7. For God is a gift of trust, and this is man's God. Punish him with that penalty which his justice prescribes for the guilty death. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for he does not these things. For after God, homicides, disobedience, Ephesians 5:6. These facts involve man in a terrible literal. He is a sinner. The very nature of God and man is separation from man. Man is punishment by that. Man is selfless and is all problem. He cannot deny the fact that he is a sinner. No, in no words he may do a name in his. The man who has committed
Right. So you see where we're going with this? We've introduced the idea that sin is more serious than maybe you were thinking. Now we've kind of put everyone in this predicament. All of mankind has this sin. God is perfect. God is just. And so that's why sin leads to death, because God's justice demands it. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can't make up for your sin. And you can't be made innocent from your sin by even just by repentance. By, as he says, a man who has committed an undetected murder is not made innocent by living the rest of his life by the law. He may repent of his murder, but that's not enough. What are we going to do? You know, we're trying to bring the reader to that point that they that the Jews were brought to in Acts 2:37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The next paragraph begins to give an answer, solution to the problem. Who wants to read next? Want to start in the back and come forward?
But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2:4-5. God's love and grace do not compromise his holiness or justice. He struck the blow which justice required, but his love provided his own son as a shield to receive the blow in place of sinful man. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isaiah 53:8. These words, written hundreds of years before Christ, were fulfilled in his death on the cross. A shield for protection from punishment is called a propitiation. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, 1 John 2:2. Truly, Jesus is the way to forgiveness of sin. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, my alarm went off to ring the bell. Somebody did, I guess. So the solution to the problem. All right, so now we've left everyone subject to God's justice, which means death, and there's no remedy for that except God is not only just, He also is loving and merciful. That's the idea introduced in this. But that doesn't lead God to be unjust. You see, so we're answering this paradox. How can God be a just God, but also be a loving and merciful God? Well, He loved us enough. He was merciful enough, merciful to us enough not to destroy us because of our sin. He loved us enough to provide His own Son to fulfill justice for us. Alright? So, basically, we're going through the gospel right here. And even bringing prophecy into it, Isaiah 53:8. So, hopefully this is bringing the reader in to see the, just the wonderful plan that God had for this problem of sin that's in our lives. That it's not just a bunch of words in a book. That it makes sense. It really, and it's really wonderful. It's really, awesome to think about. Okay. So the final section, which we should be able to get through real quick, is forgiveness is conditional. And there you have it. The gospel preached. The plan of salvation given. So the idea is that forgiveness is conditional. It's, yes, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, but there's something that we have to do. There are steps that we have to take in order to be forgiven, in order to be in Christ, as it says at the end of the lesson. Once we are in Christ and have this new life, we are continually forgiven as we walk in the light. So it's important to be in Christ, and this shows you exactly how to do it. All right, well, we don't have time to answer the questions, and obviously don't have time to finish the lessons, but I hope that this has been informative for you, and that you now, you know, have a better understanding of this ministry. Like I said, we don't have, you know, a whole lot of people engaged in this right now. It may grow, and if you would be interested in handling some of the people that are taking the course, and, you know, sending out new courses to them and things like that, just let me know, and I'll get you started on that. But other than that, thank you for your time this morning and for your attention.